Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette dated Wednesday, September 16, 2020. We begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Illinois Impact, Restore Illinois Phase 4, Day 83. 8th Danville Prison Staffer Tests Positive. U of I Rate Drops Again. St. Joseph Schools each report one new case. On the same day that Vermilion County reported a single day record 32 cases, new data from the state showed that an 8th Danville Correctional Center staffer tested positive. 7 of the cases are classified as active. Asked Tuesday about surrounding states allowing high school football games to go on while Illinois sits out the fall, Governor J.B. Pritzker said, "That's not something that's good for the families, the children of Illinois." St. Joseph Grade School and St. Joseph Ogden High each announced one positive student test. With a St. Joseph Ogden case, a few other students who came in close contact will quarantine for 14 days, Superintendent Brian Brooks said. While the seventh-day positivity rate on campus fell for the fifth time in 6 days to 0.4%, Champaign County's confirmed case total grew by 136, 82 of them in Campus Town 61820 zip code. Active cases were up 121 to 406. Active cases by Champaign-Urbana zip code. 61820 Champaign, 241, up 75. 61801 Urbana, 40, up 11. 61822 Champaign, 29, up 8. 61821 Champaign, 25, up 9. 61802 Urbana, 19, up 6. That article by Jeff D'Alessio. Champaign County Treasurer, lawsuit seeking to remove Hughes. By Deborah Pressey, Urbana. A Champaign businessman who tried unsuccessfully to run as a write-in candidate for Champaign County Treasurer in the March 17 primaries has filed a lawsuit seeking, in part, to remove current County Treasurer Marisol Hughes from office. In his 10-count lawsuit filed Tuesday against Hughes in her official capacity as treasurer, John Bambanek is asking the court to require the treasurer to perform her required duties and for a judgment stating that the defendant has neglected her duty to perform many required functions, to declare the office vacant due to such failure, and to appoint a temporary county collector pursuant to Illinois law. He is also seeking an order establishing an outside auditing agency to be assigned to conduct a forensic audit and reconcile all accounts in the county treasurer's office. Bambanek said this lawsuit will give him power to subpoena information, in part, records showing the whereabouts of all the nearly $400 million in property taxes collected by the treasurer. Officials in several taxing districts said this week that distributions of their property tax money are running behind, and that the treasurer is holding back a greater amount of their money than usual. The failure of the elected class to deal with ongoing issues in the treasurer's office has been going on for 2 years, Bambanek said. We've got all these executives and politicians running around earning six-figure salaries that can't be bothered to find out where $400 million is, he said. Hughes declined to comment Tuesday, saying she hadn't seen or heard of the lawsuit and would need to consult with her attorney. County Board Chairman Geraldo Rosales said Tuesday he had a county board majority to remove Hughes from office, but that Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz indicated the board lacked sufficient grounds to take that step. Reitz also declined to comment. Rosales said Tuesday that Hughes, the replacement treasurer he selected after former County Treasurer Laurel Pressing resigned, wasn't his first choice. He wanted Hughes' recently fired Chief Deputy Treasurer Alejandra Aguero to take the job as County Treasurer, but she declined, and he offered the job to Hughes based on Aguero accepting the job of Chief Deputy Treasurer, he said. Hughes terminated Aguero's employment effective August 28. Rosales contended Hughes is holding back more of the property tax money local governments are waiting on because she doesn't have it on hand to distribute. The reality is that we have received that money, but it's unaccounted, he said. Bambanek, a local cybersecurity expert, alleged in his lawsuit numerous failures of the treasurer's office, among them failure to receive and safely keep revenues and other public monies, failure to post payments, failure to keep proper books, failure to produce monthly records, monthly reports, failure to keep the office open, failure to make timely distributions of taxes collected to local governments, failure to pay penalties, and failure to properly hire deputies. Under Pressing, monthly reports weren't filed in a timely manner, and that has continued under Hughes, Bambanek contended. For 2020, only March and August reports have been posted, the lawsuit states. The lawsuit also states Bambanek ran into an issue reported by several other taxpayers who said they paid their property taxes on time, but their payments were considered to be delinquent. Bambanek said in his lawsuit that his bank paid the first installment of his escrowed property taxes May 18, ahead of the June 1 deadline this year, and the payment wasn't posted by the treasurer until July. His second installment payment was made August 18, ahead of the September 1 deadline, and as of Tuesday, that payment hadn't been posted and was showing up on a public website as delinquent, with late fees being assessed, the lawsuit states. Bambanek also contended, on good faith and belief, that he believes Hughes has had her husband working in the treasurer's office, but he is not a county employee, nor does the county clerk have any oath on file for him, the lawsuit states. The lawsuit further stated the treasurer closed her office to the public as of September 10. While in theory the public can make phone appointments, no one appears to be answering the phones, the lawsuit states. Hughes said earlier this week that she closed her office until further notice and was processing the second installment of real estate taxes. Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club, a new direction. Sam Banks, I want to take life at a different pace. By Mary Schenck, Champaign. As a sophomore in college, aspiring businessman Sam Banks volunteered to be a big brother. I got this kid who was biracial and never knew his dad. His mom was struggling. The impact I had on him in terms of his view on life and what he could become changed my life, Banks said. That simple act of volunteerism more than 40 years ago steered Banks into a career in social services that ended up incorporating business skills anyway. He's now ready to end that chapter of his life. On Tuesday, he announced his intention to retire as executive director of the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club in Champaign after 8 years on the job. But the affable Banks, whose smile can make almost anyone feel better or get out their checkbook to support whatever children's cause for which he is crusading, has no plans to fade into the retirement sunset. What I want to do is take life at a different pace. I have talked with people and organizations about doing consulting, and I have some business opportunities I want to spend some time developing, he said. Banks, who spent 26 years at Cunningham Children's Home, 20 as CEO, and another 4 at the helm of a Chicago-area boarding school for disadvantaged children prior to coming to the club, will remain its director through the end of June 2021. The search for his replacement will begin right away. Among his retirement plans is to write, combining his social work skills with his previous sideline as a college-level basketball referee for 20 years. The skills and the rules of officiating, I think, are comparable to what it takes to be successful in life situations. I want to talk about those and how we can use those to get us through conflict. I can use real-life examples, like what did the official do when the coach threw the chair? How did he act with fans yelling at him? Banks said. Banks said his upbringing in Chicago's West Side, he's the oldest of 7 children, prepared him well to handle conflict. I think I've always had the kind of disposition that helps in troubled situations to deal with things. My approach to life is that there are answers, and if you keep your head and think through things, you can find those answers, he said. Positivity is a large part of his disposition. He was 13 when his father died, leaving him in the man of the house role for a couple of years before his mother remarried and had 2 more children. That helped develop my sense of responsibility. I've never been afraid to be in the leadership position to have to do those kinds of things, he said. As the CEO at both Cunningham and the Boys and Girls Club, Banks needed to get those organizations on firm financial footing to ensure their futures, something he accomplished in both places. At Cunningham, we took an organization that basically had worked with kids on campus and expanded to kids in the community, establishing an education program in the community, establishing a significant foster care program, finding homes for kids to live in, establishing independent living for kids transitioning into adulthood, he said. The Boys and Girls Club was serving about 80 children when Banks arrived in 2012. Last year, we served over 1,500 kids, members and non-members. We've expanded into Rantoul. We work with the school district, and we are very proud we have partnered with the Champaign Park District over the last 2 years to be part of the new Martins Center. That will be open in 2022 and allow all our elementary kids to be in one location, Banks said, of the multi-purpose community center planned for North Market Street in Champaign. I've been proud to see both organizations be able to grow holistically in all areas, he said. Those tasks accomplished, Banks said the time is right for him to try other things. Travel with his wife Maureen, who continues to work at the University of Illinois, is in the bucket list once the world gets healthier. So is golf for both of them. Our biggest passion is spending time with the grandkids, he said, of their 3 offspring, ages 4 and under. The Bankses have 3 adult children. Brian Banks, who just started his own building and construction supply company locally and officiates college-level football. Brittany Simon, who works in marketing at Carl. And Danielle Banks, an actress and writer in Los Angeles. Even before the pandemic and George Floyd's death at the hands of a police officer in Minneapolis sparked nationwide racial unrest, banks had been considering a new path. Fortunately for Champaign County, it includes staying put. I do want to stay involved in the community and be a part of supporting the work that needs to be done to bring the community together, he said. And there's also visiting his little brother. We still keep in touch. He lives in Arizona and is in real estate, Banks said, smiling. Continuing a conversation we've hosted since June, the News Gazette asked African American community members to share their stories and solutions in the wake of George Floyd's killing. Featured today, Urbana native and freelance publicist Shannon McFarland. Someday being Black in America will be more than enough. Lately, you know what I've noticed? That being Black in America means we have been presenting ourselves as more than in order to be seen as equal to others. That's messed up, right? There seems to be some sort of private meeting around who makes the goalpost for being good enough. In general, Black people do not get the same graces as other groups in America. Here, Black people have to be more than a runner to get home safely. We have to be more than a tireless EMT to have a safe night's rest in our beds. We have to be more than compliant to go home to our girls after being questioned by the police. Being Black in America means we have to be more to simply be here. We have to abide by rules for protocol and are told it will all be okay. Talk about traumatic conversations. One in particular is realizing how much energy actually went into being one of the only Black girls in my learning environment. I'm no stranger to going against the majority. In fact, I have been the exception for a lot of situations. I dropped out of preschool during the 90s, grew up watching Regis and Kathy Lee on TV, The Young and the Restless before lunch, and supermarket sweep with my grandparents after spending afternoons at the park. My approach to home learning confirmed that I didn't need to develop doing the same things as my peers. By the time I got to school, I was more than a student, more than an athlete, more than a Black girl, and more than what anyone expected. I got along well with my peers growing up in Urbana. My neighborhood was part of the busing agenda for elementary school in the early 80s and 90s, which placed me and my siblings in an environment that was majority white. In East Urbana, we were quite frequently made out to be one of the only Black kids in social circles and teams. We didn't mind. We were kind of having fun. I had an incredible youth experience, and I would say it was hugely due to sports. This is also why I chose to play at an HBCU during college. I wanted to be where it wasn't my job to be more than a Black girl. Now it was my job to be more than a student. My older siblings were athletes too. They had the same shake and were instrumental in me knowing how to move, how to pack my own snacks, how long I would have to wait for mom and dad after practice, and how not to let people get in my head. There was a heightened level of security instilled in me, for sure. I would grow up and have big brother confidence and big sister wit to be good with being one of the Black girls in the group, especially with having the longest car ride home. My parents are a second-generation Ellis Drive family of over 34 years, and we are literally blocks from the Champaign City line, on the right side of Wright Street. Being Black in Urbana meant that a school outside of my neighborhood would deliver a more adequate education for me. This created some frustration for my mom. I felt it, too. My parents have been working professionals most of their lives, so choosing the best environment for their family was a no-brainer. This neighborhood and the reason families purchase homes has a phenomenal school that delivers great international intellect. I can only say it would have been a privilege to attend school in my own community. Recently, being Black in America has hit differently. Quarantine has me experiencing daily trauma, both in my community and online. I can't even count. It has been murder after murder. This social unrest needs peace, and my passion is to engineer great news, even when that means swimming upstream, because we for sure deserve better than this. Someday, being Black in America will be more than enough. Urbana native Shannon McFarland is a 2009 graduate of Clark Atlanta University and freelance publicist. From the Our County section, Champaign City Council, Voluntary Separation Incentive Program approved by Ben Zichterman, Champaign. At its meeting Tuesday, the Champaign City Council approved a voluntary separation incentive program aimed at cutting the jobs of 15 to 25 city employees. As the city tries to reduce spending by $5 million to address an expected COVID-19-induced shortfall, Tuesday's move is expected to save between $1.1 million and $1.8 million. Employees will apply for the program, and the City Council would be informed if any reductions would lead to a change in city services. A larger incentive will be given to employees who separate before July 1, 2021, and a smaller one after that, through the end of next year. The program was approved unanimously. We are in an emergency right now, and time is of the essence, Councilman Tom Bruno said. It will be really nice if the emergency isn't as dreadful as it might be, but it's upon us right now, and we have to start acting right now. The council also unanimously approved a $74,500 settlement with an 18-year-old who alleged in a federal lawsuit he was arrested with excessive force almost 2 years ago. Tavian Jones Primo alleged that he was pushed into the mud and arrested for no reason after a report of a gunshot nearby. The city denied that he was arrested for no reason. No charges were ever filed against him related to the gunshot, his attorney Sean Barnett said. Under the settlement, all officers were dismissed as defendants in the lawsuit. Election 2020, What They Said, Round 2 of Forum Face-Offs. Miss Monday Night's Champaign County Virtual Candidate Forums on Zoom? Here are a few highlights from staff writer Ben Zichterman. Circuit Clerk. Republican incumbent Katie Blakeman said she hopes to make the courthouse fully paperless by the end of 2021. We've been laying the groundwork for this for years, and it will save Champaign County about $150,000 a year to move toward a fully paperless system, she said, of her goals for the office. Longtime lawyer Susan McGrath, a Democrat, said she'd focus on reviewing the structure of the office. One thing that is essential to the operation of the office as technology changes and the courtrooms go paperless is to review the structure of the office to make sure that the positions that are there are adapting to the new reality of technology and also the services that are necessary to help people that don't have technology, she said. Replacement of Judge Michael Jones. Assistant Public Defender Ramona Sullivan, the Democratic candidate, said that no one should be incarcerated longer than necessary. Being separated from your family, from your home, from all the things you're trying to do with your life is a very big deal, she said. And I personally, as a human being or as a judge, don't believe anyone should be incarcerated any longer than necessary. I don't think that your bail should be any higher than necessary. Savoy attorney Cherie Kessler, a Republican, said she'd address structural prejudice by avoiding bias as a judge. I am aware of gender, racial, and cultural bias. This will not be tolerated, she said. A judge must apply the law in a fair and impartial manner, and that means putting any bias at the door. It's not always easy to do, but I think it's important to be aware of our bias and to be aware of how it affects us and to continually educate ourselves on that topic. Replacement of Judge Thomas DeFantis. Appointed Circuit Judge Jason Bohm, a Republican, said structural racism needs to be rooted out and destroyed. It undermines the worth, dignity, and value that every citizen should have in the courtroom, he said. If you've ever seen a statue of Lady Justice, she's blindfolded, which means that justice needs to be served regardless of race, gender, wealth, or any other status that we might place on a person. Champaign attorney Scott Lerner said systemic racism starts with police officers. Sometimes they're more likely to search somebody or pull somebody over because of the color of their skin, Lerner said. I think bond amounts tend to be higher for African Americans and sentences longer. So I think there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed and can be addressed by courts and by judges. Opinion, Jim Day. The stop led to heroin, but what led to the stop? Put on your thinking caps. It's time for another search and seizure brain teaser. This one concerns the motorist who made sudden and dramatic lane changes, moving first to the far left lane and then crossing from the far left into the far right lane that turned into an entrance ramp to Interstate 55 in Will County. A Bolingbrook police officer spotted the move and thought it illegal, not to mention suspicious. The officer pulled over the motorist, Michael J. Kaskowski, and gave him a warning ticket for improperly signaling a lane change. That might have been the end of the story, but Officer Patrick Kinsella searched Kaskowski, finding capsules containing a white powdery substance that later tested positive for heroin. When the case went to trial, trial judge Daniel Kennedy denied a motion to suppress the evidence, and Kaskowski was convicted of unlawful possession of a controlled substance. As a consequence, Kaskowski was sentenced to 38 days in jail and ordered to serve 24 months on probation. On appeal, Kaskowski reiterated his argument that he had been subjected to an improper search and seizure. This time, he won. A three-judge appeals court, in an opinion written by Justice Mary McDade, unanimously overturned the conviction, threw out the heroin as evidence, and sent the case back to the trial court for further review. Search and seizure law, at least to laymen, is complicated. Retired University of Illinois law professor Wayne LaFave has devoted much of his professional life to writing on the subject, and he's constantly updating the subject in the face of court decisions establishing new law. This case doesn't involve new law. In fact, it's pretty basic, but is nonetheless interesting because it is so basic. Police have the right to stop an individual, in this case motorist Kaskowski, if they have probable cause, meaning reasonable suspicion to do so. Remember that word reasonable. It's the key to resolving this legal dispute. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette dated Wednesday, September 16, 2020, when we will resume the balance of this article. Please stay tuned.